All right, we are live. Our Warriors Weekly Podcast, NBA Finals Edition. It's John Dickinson and Matt Steinmetz, and we'll just get right into it. Wow, last night, Game 1, NBA Finals. Steph Curry with what I called an iconic first quarter, Steiny, 21 points. The Warriors with a huge third quarter. They have a 12-point lead going to the fourth. I think a theme of the night, though, was the Celtics kind of hung around even when the Warriors were playing well, and they blew the doors off the thing in the fourth, 40-16. Warriors stymied in the fourth, and the Celtics, 21 three-pointers, 9 in the quarter. Just your headline thoughts on a pretty incredible night at Chase Center and the Warriors being up against it in an NBA Finals series immediately.
Yeah, I can't think of a loss like this that they suffered during their postseason run since 15, to tell you the truth. They make 19 threes. That's usually an automatic for them to win a game. They have a lead in the fourth quarter. They usually don't give up leads. They usually overcome deficits. Steph Curry was ordinary after the first quarter, and I felt like in the first quarter, it was almost like they missed a couple assignments on him. Mm-hmm. You saw Marcus Smart kind of shrugging a few times. And, you know, it was one of those things where, to me, you know, Al Horford, kind of the only place he can beat you right now is from the three-point line, it feels like. And that's where he ended up beating the Golden State Warriors. So, you know, I think this was a surprising loss for the Warriors. I think they were a little bit shocked after the game. I think they put on a brave face, but bottom line is, since these guys have been champions, JD, I can't remember a game in which it seemed like everything was under control going into the fourth quarter, and then it was a just total complete breakdown for 12 minutes.
Well, and think how many times the Warriors win a game like last night. I think you said to me in our text chain, they never lose a game like last night, but I just, from the point of view of the Warriors make 19 threes, and let's say the Celtics, you know, don't make 21, but make 17 or 18, and the Warriors wind up doing enough to win. How many times do we see a game like that where on a night where the opponent makes a lot of threes, the Warriors also make a lot of threes, and it's almost in a way worth more than one, because the Warriors have kind of dared some of these other teams through the years. You know what? That was cute. You made 18 threes. We beat you anyway. Go do it again. You can't. And so in essence, the opponent almost lost one of their best chances to win a game in the series where you have to win four. That didn't happen last night. And so I'm not saying it's worth more than one for the Celtics, because I don't think it is, but it became one in a sense the Celtics had to get, and they got it.
Yeah, they did. And I, you know, I thought, to me, the most impressive player on the floor was Jason Tatum. I mean, I thought he was great, and I know he was 3-for-17 and everybody's going to focus on that. But the fact that he didn't turn the ball over and he still had 13 assists. I thought his defense on Curry was really good, especially in the second half. I always felt like sometimes he tries to do a little too much and can turn it over. I was a little concerned about his turnovers coming into the series. I think he had come into this series with 77 turnovers in the postseason, but he was really, really good. And the other thing, JD, is, you know, he played 42 minutes. He took 17 shots. That's not a ton of shots. In other words, as bad as 3-for-17 is, to me, 6-for-24 is even worse. And he didn't do that. Like he didn't make any shots, but he never overshot it. And he never, I never thought he was trying to do too much. It's almost like he knew he couldn't get anything to go. So he purposely was trying to find other guys, and he managed to find them. And then next thing you know, in the fourth quarter, you know, everybody's starting to hit threes, including Marcus Smart. And it just felt like the Warriors had no answer. And then it felt like the Warriors were playing some zone in the fourth quarter. Not sure why they were doing that. Looked like Boston was licking its chops in terms of that. So is it hyperbole to say that was the most troubling loss, you know, of the Warriors' run? outside of, you know, an elimination game. I mean, that game was in the back pocket, it felt like, as far as maybe not for every other team that plays in the postseason, because we've seen teams lose leads and stuff like that. But Warriors don't lose games like that. They don't lose 15-point leads late in the third quarter.
No, they don't. And not only do they not, but they also tend to win games in the way that the Celtics were able to beat them as well. So I think, you know, you look at it, I know Draymond Green after the game, and he did not play well. And I do kind of want to get into, you know, Curry's first quarter and some of the things the Celtics were doing. But it felt almost as if, and I don't know if this was by design, but it felt as if the Celtics, they wanted to defend Curry, but they also, in a way, I think, kind of wanted him to try to take over the game. I'm not sure it was totally by design, but they did a nice job against everybody else. I thought the Warriors were hitting some shots, some tough ones, which they do from time to time, and that was kind of the reason why they were ahead, and the Celtics had a couple of different runs. It never felt to me like the Celtics were ever out of the game. It just kind of felt like this was one of those games where the Warriors were hitting a lot of threes and it was sort of masking everything else. I disagree with the notion, and I heard this a lot in the post game, that the Warriors played great for three quarters. I don't think the Warriors played great for three quarters or a dominant three quarters, and they let it get away in the fourth quarter. I actually thought the Celtics played better than maybe the score appeared at times. And I actually thought the Warriors played worse than the score appeared at times, but they were hitting shots. And we see this so often when they hit shots at that level, we kind of revise history about everything else they're doing and say they're doing other things well, when maybe they're not doing other things well.
Yeah. I mean, if you go down and look at, go name by name, Steph Curry was great in the first quarter and he was average for the last three quarters of that game. I think he was 5 for 14. So Curry was average for 3 out of 4 quarters. Klay was, I don't want to say invisible, but he had no imprint on that game. Jordan Poole, well, he was a problem last night. I'll chalk that up to one game and first game of the NBA Finals, and he'll bounce back. He better be able to play in this series, or they got another issue. And then Wiggins, I thought Wiggins was kind of like he always is. He was okay, but that's not going to be good enough. And the other thing I was thinking too is, can Otto Porter play any better? I mean, he can't make any more shots for him. And even Iguodala
scored seven efficiently, wasn't bad.
But you look at what happened when those two guys were in the game, JD. Guys like Porter and Iguodala are usually pluses when they come into the game. And they were minuses last night in terms of their five-man unit. So, and Draymond was not good. He was not good last night. He can't go 2 for 12. He can't go 2 for 12. He can go 2 for 4, or he can go 4 for 11, but he cannot go 2 for 12. He cannot take 12 shots if he's making none of them.
No, that's it. I think you're spot on with that. And I know Draymond after the game, and we can kind of run through it, but he mentioned the 15 of 23 from three with Derek White, Al Horford, and Marcus Smart. I think, you know, that's something that I don't think necessarily continues. But again, the one thing I keep coming back to is the Celtics are not going to win in this series exactly the same way every game, just like the Warriors are not going to win in this series exactly the same way every game. So in essence, we know the Celtics aren't going to make 21 threes again, but they won the game that they made 21 threes in, and the Warriors lost a game where they made 19. So the Warriors would figure, with the way the Celtics defend, to maybe not have, you know, maybe they in a sense wasted a hot shooting game where typically we see them win when they do have the hot shooting. I thought it was interesting. The role players were just more impactful for the Celtics, and you know, whether it was Robert Williams being more impactful than Kevon Looney or Derek White more impactful than Jordan Poole. I thought Jaylen Brown quietly, even though he was good, shoot it great, he was really good.
Especially in the early fourth quarter when they got back into the game, he was really good.
Yeah, and so the Celtics also took advantage of, you know, they maybe found a couple of players. They found, I thought, hey, we can play Peyton Pritchard because Jordan Poole can't defend, and we've got maybe some players on the other side that can slow him down a little bit. I thought it was a night where the stat lines aside, the others for the Celtics played at a higher level than the others for the Warriors. And just, you know, what did you make it, how the Warriors defended the three? Like, were they too open? Were they trying to dare Horford to beat him? And he did. I mean, Marcus Smart hit a couple. Like, how does that all reconcile for you as far as the 3-point shots?
Well, it looked like they were playing some zone some of the time. And I was asking Ryan McDonough this on the air yesterday. You know, I get why. And the Warriors have used zone over the course of the whole season.
And they a lot when Poole's on the floor, too.
Yeah, to true.
Protect him.
Yeah, good point. Good point. And, you know, I figured in the playoffs, okay, I get it. You got Jokic, you can slow him down. You got Morant, you can slow him down. Doncic with his zone, you can slow him down. I don't see the Celtics as a team where you need to play a zone to kind of get a guy under control, or at least to, you know, get another set of eyes on a player. Obviously, Tatum is that guy if they do have one, but he certainly wasn't that player last night. So I'm wondering why they went to zone as much as they did. And the funny thing is, McDonough said he'd be surprised if the Warriors played a lot of zone, because he thought that played into Boston's hands, because they do have a bunch of shooters and they don't have one kind of dominant ball. Tatum has the ball a lot, don't get me wrong, but I don't think he's in the same league as a Doncic, a Morant,
no,
or a Jokic, as much as like the volume of times he has it in his hand. So they just moved the ball and they got 3-point shots, and they were pretty good 3-point shots, I thought. All Horford's were fine, I thought.
Yeah, no, and I think
he won't take it if it's contested because it's a set shot.
Yeah, he'll just pat. He'll just move it. He'll dribble handoff or move it or whatever. So yeah, a lot of space in between. What did you think of the Warriors' demeanor after the game? A couple of things, and this is something that I firmly believe, Steiny, and I know you and I differ on this a little bit, but I do think anytime a team that has the home court advantage loses that first game, immediately they're up against it. And I agree with you. I thought the Warriors, you know, put on a good face in the post-game press conference, and hey, no panic. Steph Curry did mention winning at all costs and desperation. He was the only Warriors player that actually used the term desperation as far as game two. Now, of course, that is always the biggest adjustment for a team that loses game one and has to win game two, especially if it's at home. It's just playing with more force and more desperation. But the win for the Celtics last night changes the complexion of the whole next week as far as every game. Like, there's nothing to play with. If the Warriors win Sunday, game three is a massive game to not go down 2-1. Even if the Warriors win the next two, game four is a massive game in Boston for the Celtics to try and tie the series and send it back to San Francisco, where Boston has played very well. And again, they're very comfortable on the road. So haven't been as good at home. Warriors probably going to win a road game in this series. No panic necessarily on that, but the Warriors are going to have to play this series, Steiny, much differently than really almost every other series they've played since they've been good. Every game now has an added level to it. Desperation right. Sunday and, you know, game three, game four, all of these games are just going to feel different because the Celtics are never out of this series. Now, there's no way the Celtics can be out of this series until game four is played a week from tonight.
Yeah, I agree. And one thing the Warriors have always seem to do in the postseason is they always do seem to have the edge. And whenever they lose a game, they still are in control. It's just the other team got a little closer, but they're still playing with a lead all the time in the series. So I agree. So this is totally different. This makes shots harder. This puts a little more pressure on them. Not that they can't overcome it. I also think now, because of the way game one played out, now we do have to keep an eye on something. And it is that fourth quarter was so dominant by Boston. I think now you do have to say, was that youth versus age? Was that fatigue? I mean, this is a young Boston team. They got 25-year-olds, and the Warriors have 33 and 34-year-olds. And we talk about it a lot. It never seems to surface or surface in a way that beats the Warriors. But when you get outscored in the fourth quarter and you get beat up and down 40 to 16, now you got to, I mean, you got to show that you're not an old team, and that, you know, Boston may be in their locker room saying, these guys were dying in the fourth quarter. These guys had nothing. And if that's the case, then we might have a problem for the Warriors.
Well, and I thought, for all the focus on the shooting and maybe the fact that the Celtics got hot impacted the other end of the ball. I mean, that does happen. We see the Warriors do that to a lot of teams. They start hitting shots and other teams get a little panicky. I thought the Warriors were stymied, and somebody pointed this out last night on the postgame show, one of the texters. It actually kind of made me think back to game 7 against the Cavs in 2016. There was a point in the middle of that quarter where things were starting to get away, and it was the Warriors just had no answer. It was almost right. Like in a weird way they panicked a little bit, and I'm just not used to seeing it. And I think for all the headlines that the shooting and Horford and all of that gets, the Warriors got locked down in the fourth quarter defensively. That's the part I think
right
is the bigger takeaway sort of moving forward in this series. How do the Warriors get everybody else kind of in a flow? Because it never felt like they were in a flow. They were hitting some shots. Curry was doing his thing, especially early, but it felt like the Celtics defense was with them in that game.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. You know, there were two parts of that fourth quarter, and I think it's easy for Warrior fans to say, well, they're not going to hit those threes like they hit them. Okay, that's fair. You might be right. I might be willing to meet you.
They probably won't.
Halfway, right, on that.
But does it really matter?
What about the 16? What happened there? Now, are you going to say, I mean, is the analysis going to be, well, the Boston Celtics made shots and the Warriors just missed shots? Well, then if that's really what happened, the Warriors will come back and win this series, and this will be a blip. But to me, there's always more going on than that. And I've always felt when you play from behind, it's much different than playing from ahead. I thought the Warriors were feeling it a little bit. You know how that works. Yeah, it goes from 12 to 6, and then it's 3, and then they hit another one, and you're like, okay, you keep saying, let's get one, let's get one, let's get one, meaning a bucket. But there's no cohesion, and everybody's kind of trying to do it on their own, and one guy tries to, you know, make a tough shot, and the other guy tries to make a tough play, and it's almost a when you're not in those games a lot, it's hard to be really good at those games. Warriors don't have they don't play a lot of games like that where, you know, they're up against it and the stakes are really high. And now maybe I'm looking at it like this. You know, everybody came into the series saying, boy, you know, Boston's, they have trouble closing. They have trouble closing sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, that means they're in close games. And I actually never look at it like they have trouble closing. I just think that offensively they struggle at times. They're not the mm-hmm. greatest offensive team. So some people call, well, they can't close. I just say sometimes their offense catches up with them. Well, you know, now maybe they have an advantage because they've played a ton of these games before in this playoffs, and the Warriors really haven't.
No,
they've always played with a cushion.
Yeah, exactly. And that's something to keep an eye on, I think for Sunday for sure. And as this series goes on, I'm with you on the experience that the Warriors have going into it. And I think Mark Jackson, believe it or not, addressed it during the game. You win game one and you do it in that fashion, all of a sudden the experience thing kind of goes away.
Exactly. Right?
And then also the other thing that goes away is the discussion about who had, you know, to me last night was the game where the Warriors should have had a fatigue advantage
right.
over the Celtics, because they had the week off. The Celtics had just gotten through the grinder of the 7-game series. And as the series goes on, I would believe that the younger team would be able to handle more games, especially with some of the rest in between. So to me, you know, that was a game where that advantage, I almost think is gone at this point for the Warriors. So it becomes a matter of, you know, Steph did his thing. I thought the others were kind of taken away. So, and Jordan Poole specifically, you know, Klay, like you said, just kind of quiet. I thought Wiggins and Klay played similar games. They weren't really bad, but they didn't really put an imprint on it. How do the Warriors kind of fix the offense, or do they even need to fix the offense because they scored 108 and the problems were more on the defensive end?
Yeah, I mean, this could also be one of those games where, and again, you brought it up, and I don't know if it was done purposely or not, but okay, first quarter rolls around and Steph Curry puts on a show and he's got 21 and they're up 4. And now he goes out of the game. Exactly. Because he's got to, and everybody's left to kind of figure it out. And they, like, it's not like they collapsed after the first quarter. They expanded that lead to 12, but it felt like if they tried to go back to Curry, they were not going to be able to recreate. They weren't, because the Celtics defense in the fourth quarter was way. And when you texted me about Steph's first quarter, which was good, my first thought is like, they're messing up. Like it's almost like they didn't like, hey guys, this is Steph Curry. Well, you know,
there were
like three of those. And I'm thinking, yeah, weird. You know,
well, there was a play where Marcus Smart, I'm trying to think, Marcus Smart kind of got beat to his right, and Jaylen Brown was standing like a couple feet away. He was guarding Draymond Green at the top of the key, and
right.
Steph, and it was just an easy help where it's just, hey, come over and help. And Steph's probably going to have to flip it to Draymond, and then Draymond's got to do something with it. And Jaylen Brown just kind of fell asleep on Draymond, and Steph just takes the step to his left and shoots a wide open three. Celtics called timeout, and Marcus Smart was like looking around at the coach and looking at Jaylen Brown, like, bro, like that's the easiest help you could have, and you're stuck on Draymond Green at the top of the key, 25 feet away from the basket. Like, what's going on?
Yeah, that's the way I felt. Like I felt like, not to take anything away from Curry's 21, but man, I mean, he had great looks. Like way better looks than a guy like him should ever have in game one of the NBA finals, kind of. So, you know, I didn't look at it as like, man, Curry is putting on a show and he is unguardable. I'm like, well, they haven't really tried to guard him yet. And obviously they figured some stuff out after the first quarter, but yeah, I mean, maybe, you know, this is funny how some of this stuff works, because one team, one series can look like a team that got beat the last, like, who's, you know, a night like last night, I'm like, well, who's the Warriors' second best player now?
Yeah.
Who are they going to if Steph can't get it done? I mean, it might have to be Wiggins now.
Right.
Well, that's fine.
20, and he had 20. See, that's the other, like, he had 20 last night.
And that's the thing, JD. It's like, okay, Wiggins has been real good in the playoffs, but if all of a sudden you're like, well, now Wiggins has to be our second best player in the NBA finals. Now, all of a sudden you start thinking, this guy barely played in the postseason before he ever got to the Warriors. You know what I mean? Now, all of a sudden you start thinking of him as the player kind of he used to be. And you say, maybe that's too much to ask of Andrew Wiggins, you know, to be 20 and 10 consistently, even though he had 20 last night. And where's Klay at?
And again, Klay, I know I'm saying it for the third time, he wasn't bad, but he wasn't enough a part of the action. And that's where I wonder, Steiny, and I want to get into adjustments here in the final 2 or 3 minutes, but I think I wonder if part of, and I was kind of in the process of watching the game back as we were getting ready to do this, I just wonder if part of the game plan for the Celtics was to make it tough on Curry, but also give Curry enough to where he tries to kind of take it over a little bit, because it did feel like, even though some of the Warriors were hitting shots and Klay was a part of that at times, it just, and I thought Klay was frustrated at times. Like, there weren't enough looks for him to really get into a full rhythm. And again, I mean, he wears it in those moments. There were a couple of times again last night where he just visibly frustrated with, you know, either not getting a shot or not hitting a shot or getting beat defensively. Like, he's kind of wearing it a little bit.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I wonder if, you know, I mean, defensively, he's not the same player. I'm not saying he's a bad defensive player, but he was outstanding defensively during their 5-year run. And you know, to ask him to play like that. I don't think that's going to be fair. And, you know, it's like, again, I just keep coming back to, at the end of the series, are we going to say, huh, well, the Warriors looked a little bit older. They looked older than they've ever looked before. And if that's the case, well, that's what happens when you're 34, 33 years old and you're playing a team of 25-year-old athletes.
Well, and the one thing, you know, I mean, the Celtics have been better on the road than they have been at home. Now 8-2 on the road, Warriors with their first home loss. The Warriors have won the 26th consecutive series with a road game. Celtics are only 5-4 in Boston in the playoffs. And they've had a tendency almost to, I don't want to say let up, but they've played a little like they can just show up and everything's going to be fine, I've thought, in some of their home games. But they've made up for it because they've won some big road games to offset it. And I think they're probably going to have to win another one at Chase in this series if they're actually going to win this series.
I also think that if you're Boston and you liked what you saw last night and you might just come out Sunday and say, you know what, we're better than them.
And no lead is safe now.
And we can wear them down. Over the course of, you know how, like, when the Warriors are at their best, the game for the opponent is too long. Mm-hmm. The game is too long.
It felt the opposite last night.
I agree.
It did. I remember looking up, and I think there was 8 minutes left, and it was a 5-point game. And I thought, there's 8 minutes left, not three and a half. Like, if there had been 3.5, it would have been fine.
And then it actually went the other way, which it never goes, where it's like, okay, now Boston's taking the lead. Well, there's four left. Now there's still seven. Now Boston's up more, and it's four, and it's like, well, this game's over.
Yeah.
Like, it never,
because they couldn't score.
No. It never got to a point where I was like, well, oh, they got it to seven with 3.5 left. Now we got no.
The final thing I wanted to get to, Iguodala played. Gary Payton II didn't play. Basically an 8-man rotation. What's the tell there? For me, the tell is they don't think he can shoot, even though technically he was medically cleared. And I also think the tell is it goes back to the non-scorers on the court at the same time. Looney and Draymond. Draymond and Iguodala. If Payton's going to play, what's the combination he's going to play with to where it's only two and maybe not three non-scorers? And I know Steve Kerr's in a little bit of a pickle there against an elite defensive team to boot.
Absolutely. And here's the other thing. If Gary Payton II can't even be a threat from 3-point range, that means he's worse offensively than Draymond. And you cannot play Draymond and somebody who's actually worse than Draymond offensively. And let me tell you something. I mean, I wouldn't even guard Gary Payton the minute he plays his first second in this series. He's got to make a shot. I got to see how he shoots the ball. And, you know, here's the other thing. And I was thinking about this. Gary Payton II does two things. He makes threes, but he also finishes at the rim. Well, you know what? I'll bet he can't finish at the rim like he finished at the rim. Maybe he can't get that left arm up as high. Maybe he can't do it as quickly. But that's the other part of Payton. He's the guy who gets three dunks a game off all kinds of stuff. But he's got to be healthy to get those dunks. So maybe that's a part of it.
No, I think so. So let's call it on that note. Good stuff, Steiny. I know we're going to be doing this after every game. We'll take Monday off because I'm heading to Boston Monday. We'll do it Tuesday from Boston. We'll talk about the series after two games. And, man, it's going to be a good one now, no doubt. So for Matt Steinmetz, I'm John Dickinson. Make sure you're listening to Steiny with Guru at noon. And we'll talk to you on Tuesday here for 95.7 The Game.